Amen. Well, that's a good thing. That's good enough, isn't it? Amen. That's the greatest thing that we can say is just love him. Amen. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I would like to select for title today of this message, Seeing as God Sees. Seeing as God Sees. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The Lord sent Samuel
on a great mission, and that mission was to select a new king. Saul had proven that he was no longer able to serve Israel as God would direct him. Saul had chosen to serve Israel his own way rather than God's way. And so God rejected Saul from being king of Israel. And so God told Samuel to go to the house of a man called Jesse. And he said, I will show you there whom you will anoint as the new king of Israel. So Saul, with great fear and trepidation, went to the house of Jesse and explained his mission, and he would have his sons pass before him. So in this text today, as the eldest son, Eliab, begins to pass by, Samuel looked upon him and said these words. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He immediately connected with the man and thought, wow, that's the guy. Amen. That's the one right there. Amen. We need go no further. I think we found the man. But the Lord said, and I tremble when I read these words. He said, look not on his countenance. Do you know one of the first things we judge people by? How they look. Amen. Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, well, he don't even look like a preacher. He doesn't look like a president. He doesn't look like this. He doesn't look like that. We judge by countenance, by appearance. Amen. We really do. James Dobson had it right when he said, appearance is the golden coin of human worth. Amen. He noticed one time when he took his little child to the grocery store, and he was a very handsome child, and so everybody wanted to ooh and ah and say things and touch him. Little boy fell down and changed his appearance. Amen. And they didn't want to talk about it while he was ugly. Amen. That's right. Well, it's appearance. Our culture puts so much emphasis on what we look like. Amen. And so Samuel did that. He saw Eliab and he said, my! That's got to be the guy. And the Lord said, no, don't look on his countenance or the height of his stature. Another thing that people look on, they like tall people. Well, I'm a tall person. I'm under tall. Not overweight, I'm under tall. Amen. I really need to be about 7'6", and I'd be about right. Amen. And then the Lord says this. He said, because I have refused him. Now that word refuse is what really bothers me. That means that Eliab may have been in the running. But God found something that said, scratch me. And that's what I don't want to happen to me. And that's what I would not like to see happen to you. That in spite of looking right and being qualified in certain areas, the Lord would find something and say, no. Scratching out. That's not the one that I choose. And then he teaches us one of the most valuable lessons we can learn in life. He says, for the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Amen. How many people that would have been marvelous in some position are overlooked because people look on the outward appearance and not on the heart. How many friends, good friends, have people not sought out because we looked on the outward appearance and not on the heart? Amen. All right? Praise God. Why is it that people want to be friends with people who are beautiful on the outside but ugly on the inside? People that have beautiful appearance but rotten character. God looks on the heart. That's what matters to Him. That's how God sees. Amen. And so he said, I've refused him. And so the Lord had others to come. And Samuel said, bring the next son and the next son and the next son and the next son. And they all passed by. And still the Lord had not selected. And so he said, have you any more? He said, I have one son, but he's watching the sheep. He said, we're not going to sit down till he comes. And as soon as David walked in, amen, he recognized that's the one. Amen. That's the one that I've chosen. Amen. So as the songwriter wrote, when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. Amen. What we've got to understand is God doesn't see what other people see. Amen. Looking through this congregation today, God sees something that other people cannot see. When God looks at you, He does not see what other people see, because God is looking on the heart. God sees your desires. God sees your dreams. God sees your visions. God sees what you want to be, not only what you are. God sees beyond the present. He sees into the future. He not only sees what I am, but He sees what I can be, what He created me to be, what He wants me to be, and what I can be by the grace of God. Amen. So God saw something that others did not see. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 28 reveals something to us about this character, Eliab. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And then he begins to speak. You know, the Bible said, out of the mouth, the heart speaketh. What's in your heart's revealed by your words. And so sometimes what you accuse other people of doing is what's in your own heart. I believe that's exactly what happened with the elder son when the prodigal son came home. And he started accusing him of all kinds of things that we don't know if he did or not. The Bible doesn't say what he spent his money on. But the elder son starts accusing him of all these things. And you know what? He was revealing what was in his own heart. So when you start judging people and saying things about people, you may be revealing what's in your own heart. That's what happened to Eliab. He began to speak in anger. What was he angry about? What's the problem? Because he's insecure. His little brother came and found him with the rest of the cowards. I love Brother Jack Yount's description. I'll never forget it. He was preaching about this one night, and he said, you could tell all the Israelites, amen, when they were in the Valley of Elah, you know, fighting against their, and Goliath was standing on the field and challenging them. He said, you could tell the Israelites because they had a suntan from the nose up. Amen. Wouldn't that be an ugly tan? That's a cowardly tan. And David, amen, with a full suntan, walks on the scene. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And Eliab got mad about that, because David was willing to do something, challenge something that he wasn't able to stand up to. Revealed his cowardice. So Eliab says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. But what battle? Wasn't any battle to see. Not till David got there. Amen. He was an arrogant man. He was a proud man. He was a cowardly man. And God saw that. God saw that. And he said, nope, we ought to have been down that road. And so God then selected David. Well, what was in David's heart? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, gives us a little insight into the heart of David. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and plenty. He was a good musician. That's a good start, isn't it? Amen. And he's a mighty valiant man. He's a courageous man. He's a man of war. Amen. He's not afraid of a fight. And prudent in matters. He has a head on his shoulders. He has wisdom. He has discernment. Amen. And he's a comely person. Not only that, but he does look good. But I want you to notice, the good look came at the end of the list. All of these character issues were the first thing you saw about David. And then later you said, oh, yeah, he does look good. So there's nothing wrong with looking good as long as that's not your only card. Character needs to come first. And then lastly, they said, in the Lord. He has a walk with God. Hallelujah. You know where he developed that walk with God? He didn't develop it whenever the oil was dripping off of his head as Samuel anointed him as a king. He learned to walk with God as a shepherd. He began to pen psalms when he was a shepherd boy. Out there watching a bunch of stinking sheep, he could pick up a harp and sing praises unto the Lord and pray his prayers in the night. And he began to develop his walk with God while he was a young man. Young people, don't wait till you get old to develop your walk with God. Develop it now. Don't wait till you get old to start praying. Learn to pray now. Don't wait till you get older to learn to pray. Start praising now. Amen. And you know what? I appreciate the fact that you do. Amen. You know what I appreciate about our young people? They praise when nobody else does. Hallelujah. I don't know that that's the way it ought to be, but that's the way it seems to be sometimes. Amen. We come in, we're tired and dragging. Amen. Praise God. And they're up here, they're already getting with it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then y'all start feeling guilty, so you'll start getting in there. Praise God. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you. Amen. So David began his journey as God looked on his heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls David a man after God's heart. Uh-oh. There we go. I have more problem with this water. Amen. Maybe this is but it is a good idea. I need it every now and then. Praise the Lord. Clean up my mess here in the house, please. Problem solved. Amen. God looked at David's heart and he saw his own heart. With some flaws, yes. David, he had his problems. And when God painted his picture, he didn't hide those, did he? God showed us the darkness of David's heart. God showed us the awful things that were in David's heart that later action revealed. But along with the evil that was in David's heart, God showed us the repentance that was in David's heart. God showed us the grief that was in David's heart because of his sin. God showed to us David's desire to restore what he had done and try to make things right that he had messed up on. So God saw that as well. God not only sees just some bad things that are in us, but he sees what we want to do about it. And that's what moves him. Amen. I know it's human to err, divine to forgive, but we've got to understand God doesn't just see our flaws. He sees what we want to do about it. That's what sets God apart. Amen. Every last one of us here today, we're not all we want to be. We have these dreams and desires and plans. We want to do things, and somehow we don't. Man, we get frustrated and aggravated. The devil tells us we messed up, so we might as well go to plan B and forget ever being what we wanted to be and doing what we wanted to do. We can not ever do it. Amen. But God doesn't see it like that. Amen. He sees us differently. Amen. And He sees through different eyes than we see. So God not only sees that, He sees your potential. He sees your desire. He sees what you want to become. And He knows how to make that happen in your life. Amen. I would today that God would help me to see what He sees. When I look at my brothers and my sisters, I don't want to see their flaws only. I want to see what the Lord sees. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, when he was getting ready to go to war and civil war, there was a man in his administration, or a man that was, well, he was one of his greatest critics, a man by the name of Stanton. And he hated Lincoln, you would seem. He was so caustic and critical of him, always saying bad things about him. But when Abraham Lincoln needed a Secretary of War, he selected Stanton to be a Secretary of War. And Stanton himself said, "Why would you select me? I'm one of your greatest critics. I'm always saying bad things about you. I don't like the way you do things." But Abraham Lincoln said, It's not about what you said about me. You're the best man for the job. He looked in Stanton's life and he said, that's what I need. That's the qualities I need. That's the man that I need. So in spite of his flaws and his criticism, he exalted him and put him in a place in leadership within his cabinet and gave him an important job. And in doing so, he made one of the best friends that he ever made for the rest of his life. But he exalted him when he was unworthy of it, when he didn't deserve it. Amen. And it was an outcome of that, that Stanton was not only an outstanding Secretary of War, but he was also a great friend and defender of Abraham Lincoln. See, Jesus takes us sometimes when we're his critics. Amen. He takes us when we're on the downslope and things are not going well. Amen. He doesn't wait until you get good enough. He doesn't wait till you get everything straightened out. He doesn't wait until you have all the revelations and the knowledge that you need. But God takes you in the times of your discouragement and your despair and your defeat. And that's when He reaches down and lifts you up and says, I want to put you in the place of the child of the King. And He actually makes you a member of His royal family, not because you deserve it, but because of what He sees in you. Amen. Most people have a tendency to rise to the level that's expected of them. Some people never reach much of a level of success because people don't expect it. Others, because much is expected and they seem to drive themselves toward success. Amen. And I would today that because of the way God sees us, that we would feel challenged and that we would feel responsible to become what God wants us to be. Amen. I read a story some years ago in a conflict in World War II. A soldier was wounded on the field of battle, and he was a distance from the foxhole. And his friend wanted to rescue him. But the sergeant said, stay there, soldier. Stay there. And then the sergeant himself ran across the battlefield with bullets flying all around him, picked up the wounded soldier, threw him over his shoulder, began to run back toward the foxhole. On the way, a bullet pierced his body in a vital organ. And he made it back to the foxhole and fell down, the wounded soldier beside him. And as his life was leaking away, ebbing away, he looked over toward that soldier that he had saved. And the soldier he saved was weeping, and he said, Sarge, why did you do that? He said, I'm not worth it. And the sergeant looked at him and steeled his voice and said, Be worth it. God's not so concerned about your past. He wants you to be worth it. I learned from that lesson some years ago that I want to strive. I used to say I'm unworthy a lot. God doesn't want you to say you're unworthy. He wants you to be worthy. He doesn't want you to wallow around in your failures and your faults and your excuses, but He wants you to straighten up, square your shoulders, make up your mind, I'm going to be worth it. I'm going to be worth it. Amen. I'm going to find the place of service. I'm going to find the place of consecration. I'm going to find the place of dedication. And God, by your grace, I'm going to do everything that's in me to be worthy. I know we could never get there. But at the same time, let's don't use excuses. Let's make up our mind. We're gonna be better by the grace of God. Let's stand together today. We live in a world where there's so many excuses. People excuse themselves on every side. Amen. Everybody has an excuse. I think God's weary with excuses. He's looking for somebody that'll say, all right, I may not ever make it perfect, but tell you what, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to quit making excuses. I'm going to start using my opportunities, my gifts, my talents. I'm going to be the very best that I know how to be. I may not be as good as somebody else. That's not my job. But with what I have, I'm going to give it to God. And I'm going to be all that I know how to be by the grace of God. Amen. Is that how you feel today in your heart? I'm very humble today that God chose me. Very humble. And I feel very honored today to be where God has brought me to. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. I'm not all I want to be. I'm not all I ought to be. Haven't done all I should. I'm very thankful. And I yet have opportunity to do more and be better. So do you. Amen. Let's make up our minds. And we're not going to just make excuses. Amen. We're still early in 2012. It's a good time to determine in your heart that you're going to do things differently. You know what I'm talking about? Some areas that you know that you can tighten up. Some things that you can do better. Amen. And let's make our minds up today and determine before God, with His help, we're going to do better. Amen. I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning to accept that challenge. Amen. If you'd like to express that by walking down to this altar and giving yourself new and fresh to the Lord, I would welcome you to do that. Amen. And just come with lifted hands and, amen, made up mind that Jesus, I'm going to do better. I need you. I want to do better. Amen. I'm going to do better. I'm glad for the difference you've made and the distance we've come and the things we've been able to accomplish together, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Amen. There's still a need. There's still a cause. Amen. There's still lost souls. There are still those that need to hear. Amen. There's still places where the light needs to shine. There are still places where the Word needs to go. Amen. There are still people that need help. God, and I want to be able to do more. Amen. And if you'll enable us to do that, we want to do more. Praise God. I need to give more. I need to do more. I want to be more like you. Amen. Praise God. There's still some unconquered territories within my own heart. There are still some unsurrendered places where I still reign as the King. God, and I need to submit to You. I need to surrender some things to You. So I come today, God, wanting and willing and asking that You would help me today to be all the person that You can make me to be. Amen. That You can make me to be the person that You want me to be. Amen. Help me, Lord, to lose my own vision, my own dreams, to lose it in You, and to become what You would have me to be. Help me to have a right motive. Motive of servantship. That I could serve you, Jesus. Help me to rid myself today. Oh, of self and self-righteousness.